Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, what do you think of that hymn? Was that okay? Has anybody sung it before? Pete or Gene, I mean? Yeah, I've never sung that one before, but when I heard it, I thought, man, this is nice. A pastor once said that what we see in the sky has a way of shaping how we live on earth. And then he went on to explain, go to almost any major American city and you can find neighborhoods where you drive over streets pitted with potholes and littered with garbage. You may pass by burned out or boarded up buildings and vacant lots, liquor stores and storefront groceries, and every now and then a daycare center with bars on the windows. People struggle in environments like this. Children struggle just to imagine the dreams their parents have for them. And all the while, people drive through the neighborhood without seeing the suffering. Why? Because there in the sky, hovering high above you, are billboards advertising the pleasures of life. Floating in the air, larger than life, you see the latest Lexus. Far off in the distance, you see Eternity by Calvin Klein. A man with chiseled abs walks the beach with a beautiful woman, inviting you to believe that if you smell like this, you can look like this and have this for eternity. What you see in the sky truly does shape the way you live on earth. And even we, who are the people of God, can become enamored with what we see. All too often, even we imagine God as the one who will give us those things we come to desire so much. But when we do, we turn our faith into a self-help program. God becomes a higher power to fix our lives, a heavenly leader to help us accomplish our dreams. Fulfilling those dreams becomes the goal, and that replaces the real work that God and we, his body, the church, are to be doing in this very real, very earthy, and messy world. And that's why we need times like tonight. The seasons of Advent, I'm going off script here, Mark, so it'll just be cool. Because it just struck me as we were singing, we were in the hymn sing, just how glad I am to be here tonight, before Christmas, doing Advent. Just how powerful that is to prepare, to be thinking about the event that we're going to celebrate. It was just so moving that we need times like this tonight. Times when we can come together and just pause for a moment and be reminded of who we really are. And tonight, through the Apostle John, God has painted a picture, a heavenly billboard, if you will, a vision intended to grab our attention and which literally changes our lives here on earth. At least it should. And that's what it did for John. I'm going to read these words again. I know we just heard them, but I'm going to read them again. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. This was the last of John's visions in the book of Revelation. He has seen God's throne in heaven, the angels, the saints, and the victorious Lamb. He's seen the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven incense bowls, and all that they've poured on the earth. He's seen demonic hosts gathered in hell and angelic warriors gathered in heaven. He's seen Armageddon, the second coming of Christ, the final resurrection, and the judgment of the human race. The book of life has been opened. And now God gives John one last vision. The city of God, descending from heaven, dressed as a bride, adorned for her bridegroom. And as John's vision ends, he's left with his face buried in the earth, bowing in worship. And when he's finally able to speak, all he can say is, "Come. Come, Lord Jesus." That's how this vision affects John. And that's our cry in Advent. The prayer of the day for the first Sunday in Advent begins, "Stir up your power, O Lord, and come." And what God paints there in Revelation 21 is to turn our eyes toward the future that he has for us and make us cry out with longing, "Come, Lord Jesus." But does it? Will it? One Saturday afternoon, a pastor was visiting a member in a nursing home on the south side of Chicago. This particular care center wasn't very pleasant. Linoleum floors, hospital white walls, and a woman in a wheelchair in the common area who constantly cried out whooping noises. I wonder if they hire these people, because every nursing care facility I think I've been in has had someone like that, either in the hallway or in the common area. And all of that made this pastor never want to live out his last days in a place like this. But he did want to be there for Lola, who was ending her life in that place. He was standing beside her as she lay on her bed when all of a sudden they heard a commotion out in the hallway, laughter and clapping and people shouting. And Lola asked him to go see what was happening. And as he turned toward the door, he saw a bride and a groom pass by the door. The bride was beautiful, and her dark black skin against a brilliant white dress was breathtaking. By the time he made it to the hallway, she had entered a room. You see, her grandmother couldn't make it to the wedding. So on the way to the reception, she brought her wedding to her grandmother. And that one short visit brought this nursing home to life. As the pastor looked up and down the hall, he saw people sticking their heads out the doors and smiling and shouting. I mean, really shouting about what they were seeing. Even that woman's incessant whooping sounded right. And when the pastor returned to Lola and described what he had seen, it changed their conversation. This vision of a bride opened up books of memory as Lola began to tell him about her own wedding. No white dress, no pastor, no church, nothing fancy. She was a war bride with a simple civil service before a justice of the peace. But it was still a wedding. And she, for a moment in this place of dying, remembered who she was, a bride. In some ways, that's what this fragment of John's vision is showing and telling us tonight. John is speaking from the edge of time, looking into the future. And he prompts us to long for that future. But he also asks us to remember the past. To remember who we really are, not individuals having our own needs met through the church. We are the church, the bride of Christ, though not yet seen in all of our glory by the world. And that's the difficult thing, isn't it? That not yet part. When you can't see the glory of being the bride of Christ, it's easy to forget who you really are. For John, the suffering of that exile on the island of Patmos might cause him to forget. about the bride of Christ. And if you read the letters to the churches at the beginning of Revelation, we get a glimpse of what it might have been like for those churches. Some had abandoned their first love. Others were listening to false teachings. Some had fallen into sexual morality. Others into idleness. They were lukewarm, and God was about to spit them out of his mouth. These situations have been repeated again and again down through history. And what they reflect are churches who have forgotten what and whose they are. We are the bride of Christ, God's own creation. Do you remember the TV series Bridezillas? I'll be honest, I didn't watch a full episode. But the theme, of course, of the series was that they would feature a couple that was soon to be married, and at some point during the program, the bride would turn into a bridezilla. The brides on these shows have all forgotten one fundamental thing. You see, you can't make yourself a bride. As they try to orchestrate their weddings, they forget that no amount of clothing or cake or flowers or fancy invitations make you a bride. You simply can't make yourself a bride. You're a bride because someone loves you. Some fool promises to you that he'll be with you for the rest of his life. For better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, he will forsake all others and love you, even laying down his life for you. See, that's what lies at the heart of this vision that John sees. The foolish intimacy of God. See, John's vision isn't just about a bride, but about a bride and a bridegroom and the intimate love of God. It begins with a large landscape, a new heaven and a new earth. And then as we get closer, we see the new Jerusalem, the holy city, descending as a bride from heaven. And then we get closer still to the very throne of God, and we hear the Father say, "Behold, the dwelling of God is with his people." God dwells with his people. He chooses to spend eternity with you. In Christ, God's love is eternally wrapped up with the lives of his people, for better or for worse. Though we try to make him our servant in some self-help program, though we become argumentative and ugly in our mission as the church, though the bride of Christ can become bridezilla, fighting against him and his family, and though she does everything she can to destroy her own wedding, even to the point of killing her bridegroom on a cross, he continues to love. He comes and he dies, and in that murder is the mystery of our marriage. You are a bride. You're a beautiful, drop-dead, gorgeous bride because Christ has died for you. Nothing you do could make you a bride. It's only his life and death and his resurrection for you can do that. And here tonight, you stand, or in this case, you sit, in the righteousness of Christ. You're beautiful in his baptism, glorious in his grace, and he promises to come soon and reveal all of that to the world. But until then, he gives you just this little vision in our mental sky. It's there that you will always remember who you are, bride of Christ, created by God. And what we see in the sky is to shape how we live on the earth. You may not see this bride in her glory in your lifetime, this side of heaven. But John asks us to open our eyes and know that she is here. She's sitting beside you or behind you in your brother and sister in Christ. And you can also see her out in those places where you serve God in the world. Behold, our Lord says, open your eyes. Wherever you are called, wherever you are serving, open your eyes and behold the bride of Christ. And hold on to and trust God's promise when he says to you, his bride, behold, I'm making all things new. Amen.